following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. And this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as always, live in the studio. I'd like to remind everyone that if you want to control some of the editorial content of the show today, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK, and we'll put you right to the head of the line. Have some interesting things going on today. The first thing I want to do is welcome back all of our routine listeners. Thank you so much. You make the program possible. And the second thing is, if you have been told about us or just happen to flip over the dial and say, well, gee, who are they? What do they talk about? Well, we can talk about a thing that affects all of you, your money. More is better than less. Planning for it is better than not planning for it. All those good things. So we'll tell you a little bit about us and our day jobs. We'll go through recent market events or maybe non-events, depending on how you look at the market lately. And then we'll get on to some other topics. And we have a tentative but probable very special guest at 10:45. You'll want to stay tuned for this. Mayor, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry is supposed to call in at 10:45. Regular listeners will have heard me last week supporting Mayor Curry's plan to fix the pension, the underfunded pension problem in Jacksonville and Duval County, which, of course, are one and the same. And I found this week that my opinion, which blends very nicely with the mayor's opinion, is very controversial.
Well, I think anytime you're talking about a new tax or sort of a new tax, it will be controversial.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'd offered the mayor a time slot in friendly territory to explain the problem, his solution, and why he believes, as I do, that A, it has to be done, and two, this is the best possible way. Feel free to disagree after the call or next week. I hope to get some follow-up on it. As I said, I have found personally that it is a very controversial subject, and intelligent, normal, wonderful people can disagree on whether or not this is a good idea. So if you like a little controversy, as I always do, stay tuned.
And to be fair, I don't think the controversy is really around whether we should fund the pension or not. I think everyone can buy into that.
I think I agree with you.
But the controversy comes up around whether or not keeping the pension at its current levels of payout is the right thing to do.
And another thing that came out was, how much money does this government waste? Can't we find it to just move it over without taxing the people?
Well, it is. I've seen estimates as high as almost $3 billion. So, I don't know. That's a lot of money.
And as you know, this mayor has not been in office real long. So I'm sure he's still kind of getting his sea legs. So it'll be very interesting to hear from him how he concocted the idea and why. And like I say, I'm on the side of every employee or ex-employee with which a contract was negotiated and signed by both sides. It is not justifiable in my mind to not pay these people what they were promised in a contract.
Yeah, and we were talking about it before the show, and these people went through their entire working careers knowing that this was the deal. And so that affects what the decisions you make while you're working. So they're not putting away other money because they know they have this pension money coming. And it's really not fair to then snatch it from them at the last minute.
And just another dimension on this situation, too, is that a lot of these people were first responders. They're the ones that save your lives and save your homes and such. So it's a heated subject, but I want the mayor to have an opportunity on air to explain how he came up with this and why. And as I said, I'm very friendly to it. I have not heard a better idea yet. Don't expect to. But my ears are always open, so who knows. Meanwhile, in the boring, monotonous, sleep-causing, sleep-inducing market this week, we had an exciting day yesterday.
We did.
Because old What's-Her-Name opened her mouth again.
Ah, yes. Old What's-Her-Name. Jeez. Janet Yellen. Ugh. Well, regardless of your thoughts on the Fed, if you told me at this point in August the markets would be off less than 1%, I'd be okay with that. It is August, after all.
Good point.
And August is historically the worst month in the markets. And so far, we're doing okay. And we actually did okay yesterday, considering at one point we're down triple digits. So not too bad.
We have 3 days left to blow it.
Yeah.
Or make it back. One or the other.
Three trading days. So we'll see what happens. But I'm not real optimistic about next week, honestly.
Yeah. It's not worth doing anything about.
Yeah,
you don't make long term decisions based on short term events expectations. Worse yet,
right? So the S&P and the Dow both turned negative for the month, but in reality, it really wasn't that bad. They're both down by 0.2%, and the Nasdaq is still positive by 1.1% for August. So we'll take it. However, who knows what next week brings? I don't think you're going to see any serious volatility until possibly the week after Labor Day, when all the traders get back from the Hamptons. Because I think there's tons of people on vacation this week and next week. So
I have a little oddity for you that I looked up. The S&P 500 had 2 days this past week with less than 3 million shares traded.
Hmm.
You know when the last week was where there were 2 days under 3 million?
No idea.
The last week of last year.
Okay.
When everybody's on vacation. Yep. It's that slow out there, folks, and it still will be for one more week.
Yeah, not a lot of volume lately. So there hasn't been any major moves in the market lately. Everything's been pretty calm for the last few weeks in a major turnaround from last year and earlier this year. Friday was about as volatile as we've seen, with the market opening higher on the hopes that the Fed chairwoman Janet Yellen would give a dovish speech. Instead, she kind of gave a warning that there might be a rate hike in September, which I don't buy one bit, by the way.
Nor do I, but I'm going to talk about it after one of the breaks.
So that's when the market reversed itself, though, and dropped 100 points. It only closed down half of that, and a 100-point move based on a base of 18,400 is only 0.5%, so it's really not even that volatile, even when we see a triple-digit move these days. All in all, pretty calm week, and very curious to see what happens next week, though.
Yeah, I expect very little.
Yeah, I kind of do. I think if I had to guess, I would guess down, but that's just gut reaction.
Just going to float around for a few days. We got to get past the next holiday. Everything waits in this country. School, some of the schools wait, some didn't, but they don't really get serious until after Labor Day. Trading, the real political season, believe it or not, is going to get worse, folks.
So I just have to rub something into you. I did predict that the financial sector would have a good quarter.
I saw the chart.
I'm not going to say I told you so, but I kind of did. So, yeah,
yes,
it actually, U.S. banks made the most money they've made in years over the past quarter. So, and that is despite the lack of interest rate hikes, which is surprising.
Bookkeeping, nothing more. Just bookkeeping. Financial wizardry. The GDP number was revised. That didn't help anything yesterday.
Down 0.1%.
Point is down.
Yeah, I think you might see it go back up, though.
I predicted that one, too.
Yeah.
This was the first revision of the second quarter GDP went down.
Yeah. New home sales looked really good, though.
All right. It's coming up on the presidential season, coupled with investing. I have a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And the trivia question this week is, who was the only president in U.S. history who presided over a bull market his entire terms in office? Term or terms.
I didn't get it.
Every single day he was in office, He was in a bull market. Don't go anywhere. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're 2 payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we start segment 2, where we will repeat the trivia question. Which president, U.S. president, is the only one to have enjoyed a bull market, and that's in the stock market, every single day of his presidency? And Adam did not come up with it. So that made it a good question in my book anyway. All right. For anybody who just tuned in, stay tuned. We do hope to hear from Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry at the 10:45 mark, and we'll be talking about the pension plan. Meanwhile, loyal listeners will remember last week that we got a question that we really liked, and it was from loyal listener and good friend Megan, and she asked about an ETF, an exchange-traded fund, with the ticker symbol G-A-M-E-R.
No, just G-A-M-R.
Oh, G-A-M-R, excuse me, gamer. And exactly as it implies, it is all about video gaming. Adam had not heard of it or didn't know much about it and promised to do some research, which he now has and will bring to you. And he just went over it with me in the break, and I found it very fascinating.
Yeah, if you have kids or know anyone under the age of well, actually 40.
90.
Yeah, exactly. You know that video games are a huge industry these days, and the kids love them. My kid in particular, Justin, loves to play video games, and probably at the expense of all else, including his schoolwork. So study harder.
I wish I could say that surprises me.
Yeah. So this is an ETF that's dedicated to the gaming industry. It holds companies based anywhere in the world that are dedicated to creating video game software and hardware. And a significant portion of their holdings are outside the U.S., so it is diversified on a country basis, but very specific on an industry basis. The ETF started just in March of this year, so it's very new, and to date has attracted about $4.5 million. So in the world of ETFs, that is tiny. Just to put it in perspective, the average daily trading volume of the ETF SPY, which tracks the S&P 500, is $18 billion, 4,000 times more than the total holding investment of GAMR. So this thing is absolutely tiny, and there is going to be some liquidity risk. If you want to sell out of this ETF, that could really affect it, because who knows how many buyers are going to be out there. And it's definitely something you have to think about when you're thinking about getting into something this small. So one other negative about the ETF is that the expense ratio of 0.75 is fairly high, but it's actually not that high for a small niche ETF like this one. So all in all, I mean, the negatives are, I guess you can look past them, because there are some real positives about this. One of them is that the fund assigns stocks to different buckets based on what they do. There's a quote-unquote pure play bucket, a non-pure play bucket, and a conglomerate bucket. The pure play bucket is where all of the companies that are dedicated to creating video game software and hardware are found. In the non-pure play bucket, that's for companies that support the gaming industry but do not actually design and manufacture the games and hardware. These two buckets make up 90% of the total holdings and are weighted by market cap. The last bucket is only 10% of the holdings, and it is made up of really large firms that support the gaming industry as part of their business but aren't dedicated to it. So the largest holding of the ETF is Nintendo, with GameStop and Electronic Arts being two others that you might recognize. The one thing you can't fault GAMR is the performance since inception. When I wrote this article a week ago, it was up over 20% since inception. So they might be on to something, but I'm sure Pokemon Go hasn't hurt that at all, because, I mean, if you've walked outside recently, you've probably seen people staring into their cell phones playing that game. So all in all, I'd like the ETF, but I would be hesitant to put money in it just because it is so tiny right now. If it grew, absolutely, I think I would.
Like all things, it is very risky. Meanwhile, good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning. How are you this morning?
Wonderful. How are you?
Great.
Good. What's
good,
up?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to throw out a guess on your question.
Okay, shoot.
Okay. I'm going to say Bill Clinton.
Good guess.
It was a good guess, but it is not correct.
Oh, okay.
He presided over a long bull market, but what most people don't remember is that fatal year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time, by the time Bill Clinton left office, from its high in March of 2000, the Dow was down 23.99%, NASDAQ was down 46.71%, and the S&P was down 28.54% by the time Bush took office.
That was the dot-com bubble bursting, if you remember that.
It had been a lot of fun till then, and that's to this day why nobody talks about the eighth year of Clinton.
Okay, I didn't even think of that, but he almost got there.
Yeah, he really did. It was close.
It was a great guess, actually.
Yep.
It was a great guess.
Okay.
All right, anything else on your mind?
No, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, y'all have a great day.
You too.
All right, that was a really good guess, but not quite right.
Nope.
It was a long bull market.
It was, and a lot of people made a lot of money, but then a lot of people lost a lot more money when everything crashed down.
A lot of that was brought to you by people like Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
And investing was for rich people for a long, long time. All right. We're going to take another call. Miss Cheryl, how are you this morning?
I'm wonderful.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I want to take a guess and guess George Herbert Walker Bush.
You are exactly correct.
Wow. Nice.
Now, as I told Adam this morning, there are exactly two reasons that this is the answer to this question. Number one reason.
What one of them is.
What's that?
Well, I do remember in 88 there was a big dip in the market.
Uh-huh.
So I figure it had to come back, and it came back when George Bush got in office.
Yep, and it was handed to him, I believe, on the heels of the Reagan recovery. So
there we go.
I credit Ronald Reagan, but I also credit the fact that he lost his second 4 years, because if he had presided over four more years, he would be, along with the other 43 presidents who did not enjoy a bull market for the entire presidency. So
right. I was going to guess McKinley because he wasn't in very long.
Yeah, and that was the first thing that I thought people would think of, guys like Harrison and McKinley. And it was a little too early. I don't think statistics were kept like that at the time. So it could be that something like that exists. But in the history, the documented history of the market, you had the right answer. Thank you. We will get your vitals off air, and we appreciate your call.
All right.
Interesting question, though, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, that was a really good guess, though. Get it. So.
You have to be thinking along the right topics, I guess, or the right. There's a lot of constraints and characteristics in there. The first one of which was short time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very rare to have an 8-year bull market. I don't truly know if it's ever been done. I never looked that up.
That would be a good question for next week.
It would be. I think there's one that was long enough that it would qualify for that. But I'll look it up and we'll report.
I mean, we're pretty close right now.
You decide. That's true. Although this one is still quite a bit short of the longest one. I know that. I think we got another 2 or 3 years to run to the longest one. So it's very possible that 8 years is nowhere near a limit.
Yeah.
We'll find that out.
So we also had another listener email in and didn't want to call, but wanted to know what pre-market futures were. And if you're not familiar with those, it's something that you can look at every morning before the market opens to sort of give you an indication of what's going to happen that day in early trading. And so if you pull it up on, say, Yahoo Finance before the market opens, it'll give you the futures for the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ, and you'll see it either positive or negative. And usually when the market opens, it will correspond to however those futures look. And this listener knew what they were or knew to look at them but didn't know where they came from. So I wanted to just delve into that a little bit. The futures market is actually made up of contracts to buy or sell a security at a given time in the future at an agreed upon price. So if a futures buyer thinks that a security will rise in price, the futures price will be higher than the market is right now. And conversely, if a futures buyer thinks that a security will fall in price, they'll pay a contract price that's lower than where the market is right now. But for every buyer, there's also a seller. So on the opposite side, the future sellers will think the exact opposite. The combination of all these futures transactions determines what the futures price of a security, or in the case of an S&P 500, the index, is that day. The futures price reflects what buyers and sellers expect to happen in the market, and it doesn't always reflect accurately on the opening level of the market, but it can give you an idea of what the expectations are. So it's not a perfect system to predict what will happen, but generally when you see the futures up 25 in the morning, the Dow will open somewhere in that level.
Took a jump much bigger than that yesterday morning.
It did. They were only up a few points, and then as soon as it opened, it shot up about 50 to 100 points. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's not a perfect system, but it is the only system that we have to sort of predict what's going to happen.
Futures fall in the category of options. And options are one of the alternatives to the various forms of general asset classes. And like commodities, options are the riskiest things you can do. There are some kinds, in fact, most kinds of options are so risky that they're illegal to trade in an IRA. The only option you can trade in an IRA, and this requires a special account and special permission, you have to prove that you're worthy, but the only type they will let you trade in an IRA is the covered call, because it has a downside to its risk, where some of the other types of options have unlimited downside risk. You do not want to get involved with options unless you're good enough you can chart them, understand them, and make sense of them. If you do that and study hard, you can actually make some money with options and commit a whole bunch less money. What you're committing is wealth, because if you lose on a big one, you're going to have to come up with that money.
It's a great way to lose a lot of money fast.
It really is. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Fed and that sort of thing after the break. and there's not much we can do about it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Hugh Hewitt, Laura Ingram, Dennis Prager, The Savage Nation, Mark Levin, WBOB, AM 600, The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Italy is observing a national day of mourning today for the 290 people killed on Wednesday in the earthquake. A state funeral was held today for 35 of the victims, most of them from just one of the towns that was devastated. Before the funeral, Italy's president visited the devastated area and thanked rescue workers for their ongoing hard work. Sadly, at this point, they're more likely to pull out more victims from the rubble rather than any survivors. Hope of doing that is fading. NBA star Dwayne Wade bemoaning what he calls another act of senseless gun violence. His own cousin was shot and killed in Chicago yesterday, one of the bloodiest cities in America, yet already with some of the tightest gun laws in the country. The woman apparently killed as she was pushing her baby in a stroller near a school where she intended to register her own children. A man suspected in the slayings of two Mississippi nuns has been arrested and charged with two counts of capital murder. This is SRN News.
I'm John Vitas, one of the voiceover guys here at the station. I want to tell you about SNC Square Contracting. They just put a roof on my house, and my wife and I couldn't be happier. They were helpful with my insurance claim, their work was impeccable, and they kept the job site clean. SNC Square is also a certified CertainTeed Shingle Master Applicator. I worked for years in the construction industry, and I'm here to tell you SNC Square is a company that I would recommend to family, friends, and you. SNC Square LLC, roofing with integrity. Call 381-8518. That's 381-8518.
Dick Kravitz is a constitutional conservative Republican and is a proud supporter of your Second Amendment rights.
I'm Dick Kravitz, and I'm asking for your vote in this Tuesday's election. I've been endorsed by the Florida Times Union and the current State House District 16 Representative Charles McBurney. Council members Matt Schellenberg, Jack Webb, and Sharon Copeland have endorsed me as well, honoring my outstanding pro-life and sanctity of life voting record. Thank you. Paid political ad, paid for and approved by Dick Kravitz, Republican for State House District 16.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Share your ride to work with me weekday mornings for interesting conversational talk here on WBOB The Answer. We'll discuss topics spanning all the forums. Plus, take your calls, interview some of the biggest movers and shakers in the world of politics, the news you must have, the analysis you need, entertainment, and more. You can't be informed if you don't participate. That's the Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WBOB AM 600, The Answer.
Travel Camp RV at Beach and Southside is your one-stop shop for RV sales, service, parts, and accessories. Travel Camp RV sells new RVs and a nice selection of pre-owned travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Top brands like Winnebago, Forest River, Coachman, Venture, and Gulfstream. New travel trailers as low as $149 a month. New motorhomes as low as $379 a month with as little as 10% down. Travel Camp RV is locally owned and operated and can service any make of RV. See the big showroom full of accessories. For a limited time, the new 2017 models are rolling in, so additional factory incentives are offered on the in-stock inventory. It only happens once a year. Experience the freedom of the open road. The RV lifestyle, where it's always an adventure. Travel Camp RV, open 7 days a week at Beach and Southside. Go to travelcamp.com and let Travel Camp get you on the road to making more memories. That's travelcamp.com.
Stuck in traffic? WBOB has the answer.
There was one crash in Clay County, Blinding Boulevard at Parsonage Street in Middleburg, and a disabled car on the roadway over at Jacksonville 95 southbound. That is just north of mile marker 353. Drive carefully. It is currently raining. We're getting our 30% chance of showers right now. Hopefully we'll get some mostly sunny skies by the afternoon. Highs of 89. Currently 81 at WBOB AM 600, the answer.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are in the second half. This segment, as usual, brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Things grow around here, folks, and partly because of the little gully washer we just had while we were on break outside our window.
Yeah, it was really pouring.
It was raining cats and dogs there for a minute, and then it goes away. It's been a little crazy lately. I did hear on the way in that these things are coming in off of the ocean, so I guess that's it. Lines are open, 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. Stay tuned, everybody. We still expect and hope to hear from Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry at the 1045 segment, so we can talk about the problems with the underfunded Jacksonville pension plan that's been plaguing this city for as long as I've been visiting here. I can't remember a time when I wasn't reading about it. Meanwhile, those of you who know me well know that one of my favorite topics in the world, or is it one of my least favorite? It's really hard to tell sometimes, is the Federal Reserve. Yesterday, Janet Yellen, the chairperson of the Federal Reserve, spoke again, and when Janet opens her mouth, funny things happen. Now, that's not just because it's her. That's happened with every Fed chairman I've ever known. They have a way of creating turmoil. Now, according to the rules of the show, I'm going to take a little time out because we have to say good morning, Ed.
Yes, good morning. How are you today?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I have to say that I am in favor of the mayor's program. Let me explain. I transferred here to Jacksonville some years ago with General Electric Company from Schenectady, New York. And at the time, GE had a, you know, what they called the Savings and Security Program.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they were, you know, matching funds and so on and investments. And then, of course, GE stock back in 2000, the last year that Jack Welch was with them, it split and went to $63 a share.
Mm-hmm.
And then it dropped from there, you know, all the way down to the 2008 low of perhaps about $8 or $9 a share.
That's pretty significant.
Yes, sir. And so here, you know, here we're in this investment stage, and it's just like the city's investment also fell away, unfortunately.
Yep, that is true.
As did the state for a while.
I'm 72 years old. I'm still having to work in order to keep up. I, you know, collect a GE pension, but that pension is less than my Social Security.
Hmm. And how long were you with GE?
I was with GE 25 and a half years.
Wow, and it's less than Social Security.
I was a mid-manager, not a mid-manager person, individual contributor.
Hmm. Bottom line on pensions is that they're going away. Yeah, very, very few people, non-government employees especially, have traditional pension plans anymore. So we have kind of voluntarily switched over to a 401k type system. And it can work for you, and it can work against you. We always say the lucky ones are the pensioners. And better yet, the really lucky ones are railroad retirees because their plans are funded.
Yes, by the government.
By the railroads, actually. They were allowed, and I don't know if it was mandated or allowed. I don't know what the right word would be. But they've always been under their own system, and they've been really, really good at keeping their pension fund up to date, which most governments and private companies have not been very good at. So they're very fortunate. But I don't know if there's one right answer, but I do know my feeling about it, which is if you have been promised a pension, unless your company goes bankrupt, and taxing authorities don't generally go bankrupt, yeah. Although don't tell Detroit.
Yeah, and yeah. A few cities in California.
Right. But generally speaking, unless your employer goes bankrupt, there is really no excuse for not paying promised pensions to people. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, GE did have, you know, did have at that time, I don't think they do any longer, a good pension plan. But,
right. Like all large companies.
But it did not pay at the level as your municipalities had negotiated. Now, good for them that they negotiated those contracts that assured them of that money. But when that money went away in the 2008 fall, I mean, I think that what Mayor Curry is doing is the most fair in light of our economic condition today in this country.
And we absolutely agree with you.
And that's why we got in touch with him originally, because Adam and I have concluded that there is probably no better way to handle what is an existing problem that has been ignored by mayors from both sides of the aisle. I'm not pointing any fingers at political parties here. They've all done it. The city council should be ashamed of themselves, and every city council for three decades ought to be ashamed of themselves. We now have a big problem. We have to address it.
Yep, to the tune of billions of dollars.
Yes, and that is our first premise, is that this problem requires fixing. So that's where we are.
You know, it was the same thing in a private corporation like GE. They had what they called savings and security.
Mm-hmm.
There was no security there at all after the market fell off.
Yeah, managing those things is a problem that nobody was on top of enough, I guess. And if you remember back in the big fall, when was it? I think it was before this one, when Alex Sink was running the pension plan for the state of Florida. She lost an unbelievable amount of money because a lot of the investments in the pension plan were unsuitable.
So, that was 1987, I believe.
I believe you're right. It was the bad fall back then. And that shows you how quickly and how easily you can get into trouble by not following what would ordinarily be construed as the prudent man rule, where diversification is the only way that you can help these things. And even then, you better require patience. And any money that's going to be paid out within 5 years has to be sheltered from big drops in the market.
And also, for our loyal listeners, you might remember about a month or two ago, we spoke about the Central States pension plan and how it is vastly underfunded as well. And part of the blame actually fell on the IRS for that happening, because at one point they were overfunded. And so the IRS basically made them pay out more to the pensioners because they wanted to tax that money sooner rather than later. So there's enough blame to go around for everyone in these types of cases. But, you know, a lot of it falls on the people who manage the pension plan. But there are other extenuating factors, too, that we don't always see and aren't as transparent.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank you for your show and the opportunity to share an opinion.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you being there. And we do this every Saturday, and we hope that there are people out there that are either learning something or forming opinions and maybe looking inwardly and saying, am I doing the best thing I can do for me? Because let's face it, if you're going to rely on the government to take care of you in your older age, you're doing it incorrectly.
Absolutely. And also, we welcome anyone who doesn't support the plan to call in and let us know why. We'd be really interested in finding out why, and I promise we will not cause an argument with you.
Nope. Our rules are very simple. If you're civilized, so are we.
Exactly.
Feel free to disagree. Ed, we appreciate your call very much. Keep listening. Call us anytime.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to know somebody else is on our side, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I actually just had a listener text me and say that the railroads no longer do the pension plans, which I was pretty sure they didn't. But yeah, those railroad retirements, if you have one, good for you, because you're not getting them anymore.
Yeah, almost every company now has gotten away from the traditional pension plan for the very obvious reasons. People started living too long.
It's true. How
it's your
old
fault, folks. Y'all are getting old.
How old did the first Social Security recipient live to?
Ida Mae Fuller.
Like
100? Paid in $29.83 and lived to be 100 years old. They might have thought at that point, we have a potential problem here developing. That has been the problem with pension plans, private and public, and we certainly have a big one here. So don't go away. Assuming that things go well, the line will light up and the mayor will give you his stance on the pension problem. why he feels like he has to fix it, how he feels like he should fix it, and how he needs your support to do it. And by the way, Sarah told me the other day that the polls are looking very good in support of his plan, something north of 60%. So apparently a lot of people are on board. And I do see lights flashing right now, so we'll hope it's that. And don't go away.
As a reminder, also get out and do your early voting, too, and vote for this plan if you want to.
Exactly. Okay, well, we'll be right back, and it appears we'll be talking to the mayor, so don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour, and you are about to have a little fun.
So you need to find a plumber to replace your water heater. The question is, where are you going to look? Phone book? That got tossed in the recycling bin as soon as it hit your doorstep. Web search? Not unless you feel like sorting through an endless list of search results, and you're certainly not going to pay a subscription fee to get access to some list. What you need is someone to refer a local pro you can trust. What you need is home.homeadvisor.com. Home.homeadvisor.com gives you free access to a network of over 85,000 background check service professionals who have the expertise to help you with all your home repair and remodeling needs. It's the fast, free, and easy way to find top-rated local pros who've been rated and reviewed by homeowners like you. That's why over 25 million homeowners have trusted Home Advisor to find the quality home improvement professionals they're looking for. It's why you can, too. Visit home.homeadvisor.com to find the service pros who can bring your home improvement dreams to reality. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. C. Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And an interesting thing just happened to us when the phone lit up, and we have on the line direct from Key West to Middleburg, to Jacksonville, Florida, the just entering second term Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you. Nice to have you here. We, as you know, have been talking a lot about your proposal for the pension plan, and I want to know from you the background, how you assessed the problem, how you assessed the solution, and what we can do to help this thing get passed, because I personally think it's very important.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. So I was elected just over a year ago, May 19th, 2015, was sworn in July 1. In my transition period, as I was preparing a budget, I had weeks to prepare a budget to submit to City Council. I got a firsthand look at the pension crisis. I talked about it on the campaign. I knew it was bad, but it's a really stark reality when you are presenting a budget and trying to lay out your priorities. And one of the things that I quickly realized was that the pension costs are simply not sustainable. Our billion-dollar budget that I submitted to City Council just a few weeks ago has $290 plus million budgeted for pension costs.
Wow.
That's $290 million of your listeners' taxpayer dollars that they pay in, that they expect to pave their roads, to take care of their parks, to hire police officers, to remove septic tanks. I mean, you name it, things that government's supposed to do that we're not able to do because 27% of our budget is going to pension costs. And by the way, that number is climbing. It will hit $400 million at some point, almost half the budget. Perspective on this is in 2009, these costs were under 10% of our budget. Now they're 27%. And in 2009, people were saying we had a crisis, and yet here we stand and no one's fixed it. So I felt it would be irresponsible for me to put this problem off until a second term. Not a sexy issue, but I decided to attack it my first year, and I believe the voters are going to follow me down the road to this solution.
Okay, how did you come up with this concept to further fund the shortage?
Sure. So here's the options that critics would lay out. Let me give you the options that people have said are better than mine. Well, I simply disagree with them. Some have said a brand new sales tax that starts today. I think it's a bad idea because that's a new tax, and government always takes the easy answer of creating new taxes. But if one of your listeners thought that was the right way to go, if they were a mayor or a member of City Council, the only way you could get that done is the approval of the Florida legislature. The House, the Senate, and the governor would have to sign off on a new sales tax.
Not likely.
I can tell you, ain't going to happen.
Nope, not likely for a local problem.
Is not going, that's exactly right. This governor has slashed taxes many times, has created an incredibly business-friendly state, and is not going to be, nor is the House and the Senate. So that's an academic debate. Not worth having. Others have suggested a property tax increase. Bad idea. You cannot legally obligate property tax dollars to a specific purpose. You raise the property tax rate. You say we're going to start paying off our pension costs. Another mayor, another city council comes in and says, you know what? We funded these pensions a little bit. Now I want to do something else with the money. And it wouldn't be tied to any type of reform. If your property taxes went up and we simply started to fund pensions with that, the labor unions would have no incentive to sit down and negotiate with us.
That's a good point.
My plan takes an existing sales tax. So we pay 7 cents today when we buy something in Jacksonville. If you vote yes on my plan, your sales tax will stay exactly where it is.
I think that's somewhat misunderstood.
That's right. Not a new tax burden. Your listeners need to know that. What you pay today is what you'll pay then. The difference is if you vote no on my plan, your sales tax will go down by one half a penny at some point in the future. It would simply go down by one half a penny. You vote for my plan, that half penny will do nothing but fund the pensions. We wrote that into state law. Mandated, legally bound, I can't change that. Another mayor can't change that. It will also require that I close all of the pension plans that cause this problem to new employees. So it's reform-oriented. If I'm not successful in closing those plans, these tax dollars will not flow to fund the pension.
That's only fair.
That's right.
You don't want to create another problem.
The other thing that I did was, when I was elected and I was signing my employment forms, the city of Jacksonville as mayor, I opted out of taking any taxpayer retirement. I get no pension from the city. I get no taxpayer dollars matching my retirement. Not a single dime of taxpayer dollars go to my retirement. I felt that was the only way that I could be credible on this reform solution.
Well, if I were a Duval County resident like Adam is, I'd appreciate that very much.
And I do.
Yes. There you go. All right. Why do you feel that we need to do this when there were so many reported problems with how this was done and the type of contracts that were made? And on that same vein, once the funding starts to take place, is there any way to negotiate some of the really sort of excessive clauses in some of those contracts, or is it a done deal that we cannot fix?
No, so a couple of things. A lot of folks don't know as well that last June, concessions were made, benefits were cut, retirement ages were adjusted, cost of living adjustments were adjusted. Concessions were made by policemen and firemen in the collective bargaining process. Some would say those didn't go far enough. What I would say to you is we should be collectively bargaining every 3 years under state law. That didn't happen for years because of this 30-year agreement people have heard bantered around. We will be doing collective bargaining every 3 years with the police, fire, and general employee union. But the critics that have suggested that I go in and unilaterally impose draconian cuts on these benefits, that is also an academic exercise. In the private sector, we have the luxury of being able to go into our board of directors or our stockholders and say, we need to reform this. We agree on a change with them. We educate our employees and we move on. We, under state law, are required to negotiate with these unions. That's a state law. It just is what it is. Given that the concessions were recently made in June, if I went in, if anyone went in and demanded draconian cuts, the leaders of those labor unions wouldn't agree to that. You end up in what is called impasse, which is a 7-year process, so you lose another decade at a time when our budget is 27% of pension costs. So is there a perfect solution? There's no pretty solution to this, but I'm the only one that's put forth one that is comprehensive and reform-oriented.
How did it slide so long? Through mayors from the left and mayors from the right and councils that come and councils that go, how was it allowed to slide for so long?
Well, you know, one of the things, there's a number of factors that happened. The stock market crashed, as we know. That affected the balances and the funds. But the city also, when times were good, did not put the actuarial suggested funding amounts in the funds, in the plans. They were relying solely on market returns. Now, that can't happen again because we've imposed, an ordinance has been imposed that requires that the city put in the actuarial required funding amounts. So that's a significant reason this happened, and a check and a balance has been put in place to stop that from happening again.
There have been questions posed to me recently as to the legality of the negotiating that was done on these things. Can you address that? I've heard they weren't done under the Sunshine Law. I've heard that the representatives of the taxing authority may or may not actually have been duly authorized to do what they did. Any of that have any merit?
Well, much of the debate was around the 30-year agreement, and which has been before a judge. A judge recently ruled on that agreement. And the ruling was, basically, we ought to be in negotiations every 3 years. So the judge didn't say that the agreement had no standing. The judge said that lack of collective bargaining every 3 years with labor unions was in violation of state law. That ruling came down last year, which was the right ruling, by the way, in my mind. And we will be doing that.
All right, well, you're sticking your neck out a long way, and I can only thank you for it. I'm sure next week's program we're going to hear some from each side on it. Mayor, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in.
And we will be supporting right up to the day of the vote, despite all the people who might call and argue otherwise, because my mind's made up. Thanks so much. You have a great day.
Well, yes, Congressman number one. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. There you heard it. We got the side. A lot of things have been fixed in this. There's still some things I'm sure that people have trouble with. We can talk about that next week. I encourage anybody to call next week with the alternate point of views or to just further confirm what we think. Sorry, we have to go. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.